Councilman Bartzoff?
Here.
Keeler?
Present.
Kelly?
Here.
Lechstein?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Schwartz?
Here.
And Mayor Long is here.
Thank you. We're going to start our meeting first by remembering the speakers that we have lost recently, and I've asked to do a standing moment of silence for the mayor and Marianne Robertson, Joan Hadley Farrow, and Richard Krasinski. Thank you.
My 84-year-old mom, after my 2.5-year-old puppy
tangled her up and she fell to the ground. And he was incredibly kind, and I'm very grateful. So thank you very much. And the other thing is, Mom lives at the Fountains, and we have a crosswalk there, and most cars stop. But I'm just wondering, is there something else we can put there? You know, like the nice signs we have in town that say pedestrian crossing, just to make people aware? Because we're kind of far off from town center down that way, so cars are starting to pick up speed a little bit. So I'm more worried about the second car than the first car. The first car stops, the second guy's usually squealing his brakes. So I'm just wondering if there's anything else that we can do for the traffic flow in that area. Because when my 8-year-old mom is going across...
And I see people with dogs.
Yeah, true.
Well, you can ask that Liza Chief to look at it and see if there's...
We always have a police officer parked right there, and you see them all the time.
Yep.
We can buy one of those pedestrian signs. They are expensive. They're a couple hundred bucks a pop if the council wants to let the
police on. If the DMS is not in use, could we post it there just for awareness, yield to pedestrians and crosswalks?
Yeah, that's not enough.
Yeah, let's do some research. I mean,
So it's gone beyond the limited properties. Now we're hearing legitimate nuisance complaints from the neighbors resulting from this property, which has been in the letter.
There's all the concerns. I mean, let's contact the DEP. It's close to the river. Maybe the state would get involved in this thing. It's ridiculous. Like, really? I'm not kidding. This is ridiculous. And my children are here. And I don't, it's not safe because people are acting like crazy. They think they can just park there. They drink, right? It's crazy. So we need to get that fixed, please. And I also want to go to court, and I also want to speak to the judge. You can take out affidavits from all of us. I mean, we'll do whatever we can do. We need this to stop.
Yeah, that might, that's, would be helpful.
You have very close citizens. Joe knows all of us. Dina knows all of us. We can.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll take, you want affidavits, we'll get affidavits.
You want videos of the people pooping, or excuse me, can get those? We fix our houses after standards. At great expense, all kinds of, not just financial expense, and we shouldn't have a look like this.
Okay.
Okay, last thing, and I know that my mom's going to touch on this, but Hurricane Sandy, so we're almost 7 years out. We still, our family is feeling like we don't know that our house would be safe from being broken into if another storm happens. And we would like to know what the plan is for that, because we elevated, but we still think that if there was an evacuation order, we should leave because we want to stay safe. But we know who broke into our house. I know lots of other people whose houses were broken into after Sandy. We were not the chief then. I'm not angry with anybody at this point because that's passed a long time ago. I just would like to know what we can do to make sure this stuff doesn't happen in the future. I would like a plan. I'd love to know the town's plan to keep our property safe.
Some of it was, we did talk about some of it in Sandy after action, with regard to what happens in the event of evacuation, post-evacuation. And I'll let Joe speak to the particulars of that.
Monmouth County Office of Emergency Management just had a meeting a few weeks ago about that protocol, exactly what you're talking about. And Monmouth County has a protocol now that our Office of Emergency Management is going to follow about how you go door to door and what you do. So the county is taking over the protocol as to what you do when there is a disaster like this going door to door. And it won't be left to local, necessarily, the local officials to do it. There's a system by which they are putting in place, and they're developing that with all of the Monmouth County OEM directors. Mike was there at that meeting. Mike, maybe you can talk to it about what the county is doing.
Well, it's more focused on the evacuation itself, I think. Maybe the chief can talk about how we're going to secure areas.
Your question is more about evacuation.
Right, about the security.
How do we know our homes are safe?
I don't know, the fire department to go in and look for dead bodies, like, whatever, and turn off the gas and break the gas leaks, and they opened up windows in our house to cause more damage because our hurricane windows were open, and you'd like for that not to happen. And it wasn't just my family, it was a lot of people that I know that it happened to.
That's sort of what Joe was talking about. So the meeting was about assuring a complete evacuation and then having a re-entry plan. So you're not allowing people to re-enter the evacuation zone until it's completely secure.
And right, until these people that did not evacuate, that were deputized, that were, according to them, residents of the town.
I don't think they'll do that.
And then they were breaking into people's
houses. Well, they were talking about the people that put the X's on the buildings.
Yeah,
but as a resident, I would like to know what that is. And I would like to know, like, I know that people had come in after Sandy and said, why can't I have, like, a sign that we put up on the door that says everybody's evacuated? You guys can come, let's save you time. You don't have to go in this house. We have the purple sign in the window that says everything's evacuated. And then, we need to know. It's been 7 years, 6.5 years. It's crazy.
So in discussion after Sandy, there was a concern about people for their personal property. And there was discussion, I don't remember exactly who said what, about people were uncomfortable putting a sign in their dorm saying that they had left their property.
Because then
people are afraid of exactly that problem that you're talking about.
but we have definitely learned a lesson from Sandy in the aftermath of the storm. And I don't think you can see the, you know, volunteers from every place, you know, with the spray painting, and that's not going to happen again, because there's been a lot of after action both in the county and locally about how we respond.
Maybe this is just a suggestion, maybe a text or an alert that we tell the chief in the town and say, we love the house.
It's a notification system.
Well, we're in the house.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you're not. But nobody else knows.
Great, fine. So I would trust Chief Friedman with that information. So if that's what we're all supposed to do, I just would like for us all to know. It is hurricane season right now. And I know that we all hear the news, like what's happening in Louisiana, and it freaks us all out. We all have reaction. Everybody that was here during Sandy still reacts to it. And I'd just like to know how we're supposed to all be safe and our properties are going to be kept safe. So if we come back to another meeting, it's coming, and what's going to be provided?
If there is an evacuation order, they'll be given explicit instructions by the Office of Emergency Management on the process that you should follow to secure your house and notify the Office of Emergency Management that you have in fact evacuated.
But that's too late. Like, I'd like to know now. I'd like the community to know now. I don't want to have to know, you know, on October 12th at 6 o'clock, there's an evacuation order. Oh, guess what? The cell towers are down. The other doesn't get the text. She doesn't know. And so now people are breaking into my house because they didn't get the text back from me saying my family evacuated. I'd like to know what the plan is ahead of time. I don't think we should just be finding out at the time of evacuation. I think that that's a reasonable thing for citizens to want to know ahead of time.
So let me just ask, I just want to ask another question at that, which is, so when you say you want to know what the plan is, what are you looking for that would make you feel more comfortable?
I'd like to know what it is that residents are being advised, how to secure our homes. So are we being told to turn off our gas lines or water lines? Are we supposed to, you know, I don't know, whatever else we're supposed to do to secure the property besides locking the doors and making sure we don't have stuff outside going around. I'd like to know that. And I'd like to know who we're supposed to contact to say our house is clear, there's nobody in it.
We'll contact the police, we'll be at OEM. I'll let you know, normally not knocking people into work and then trying to smash the door down.
Those days are over.
Okay, that won't be happening again as long as I'm around. We will have a procedure in place to make sure no one crashes the door down and anybody else will have.
That's really nice. So if we had created, say, a pamphlet for residents that would go in a mailing.
I think that would be awesome. Just for everything to be prepared.
Let's say, I think we did it last year, but we'll make sure that we do it again.
Maybe a tax pass or something.
Maybe a tax block or something, and get out. Thank you guys for listening.
Right, and obviously human life is much more important, but the property is important also. And a lot of people end up losing their lives to protect the property because it's everybody's biggest investment, and they've already been through this, and they know they weren't safe last time, and they also know that it's very difficult to get back in. And so I'm hoping that, you know, part of the lessons learned, because a lot of those meetings happen just the council and the other emergency personnel, they weren't public meetings. I'm hoping that we have a better procedure for coming back in also. You know, but respectful, this is, you know, not like you get 20 minutes in your house, you have to get back on the bus, people yelling at me and telling me what I had. Hello, I just lost my home, I've been through a disaster, let's be respectful of time, right? I'd like that next time. So that's where I'm at. Thank you.
Guys, a break from me, but I'm back. But I wish we could clone you, Chief, because I think if we could clone them and we could have about 50 of them, maybe we would all be better off. But there were so many things that happened that were just wrong. They were wrong, wrong, wrong. And I see smiles on people's faces that, you know, we're concerned with getting people out, and then how we're going to get people back in. The people that broke into our house were given axes and whatever the sticks are that you knock blocks off of the doors. And they did this before Sandy, not after Sandy, before Sandy. We had two, maybe three insurance inspectors tell us that because they've been around the world doing these inspections and they could tell that it had been done before Sandy. We have hurricane windows in our house that, depending on the size of them, there block sign. They're put in to the house with double or triple framing around them, and each side of them have over 30 nails in and screws in the corners. And our hurricanes, our windows in the front of the house, if they weren't broken by the hatches or whatever, they were open. So that didn't protect us, did it? Our $900 storm door was broken. It was unlocked. And our antique door that we had saved during renovations from our house, which was built, we were thinking, like in 1836, we saved, and that's why we got an expensive storm door, a custom-made storm door. And instead of opening the door and breaking the glass on this Dutch door and opening the doorknob, they broke the whole darn thing down. And I asked the guy, why did you do this? Number one, they were told, it's a multi-family house. We have an apartment that was rented out to a lovely older couple, and he had been sick. And the fire department had come to get him out because he was unable to walk out. And so that's the information that people were given. So what they did was they broke windows on that side of the house. And then they couldn't find anybody, so they kept on breaking windows. And then all of the other windows were opened up to let the elements in. I'm retired. My income is fixed. I will never recover. With three mortgages on my house, I'll be 92 years old when those are out. So we're hoping that I live that long. This is not a small thing. We were told that one of the reasons why we couldn't get back is almost 3 weeks before we could get back. And I understand that the town had never gone through this before. So that's understandable. And the reason we didn't sue these people is because there was enough bad things going on, and we didn't want to be like that. One of the things we were told was the gas has to be turned on because we're afraid of all of these fires. Well, here's my question. Did the gas company turn in a main valve that they can turn off in case of emergency to South Beach, to North Beach, to the town?
Would you like the answer?
I'm sorry?
Would you like the answer?
Sure.
So the gas main twisted like a pipe cleaner and all the laterals. So they shut it off, but it was still blowing from their house.
But has anything been remedied since then?
Since Sandy, the gas company has installed shut-off valves at every residence, so that that will not happen again.
We had shut-off valves at our house. We shut off the gas inside the house, well, with various appliances. We did that. The gas shut off on the outside of our house, which was right in the front of the house, was not shut off even after these people came in. Okay, so they didn't know what they're doing. Okay. I'm not mad about it. I'm upset about it. I'm sad about it. And there's a big difference. So what we get this pamphlet from the town saying what we should do in case of another hurricane or another tropical storm. And it says, shut off your gas. Well, apparently, there's a lot of people that don't know how to shut off. So I would think that this would maybe be something that the police might, and fire department might spearhead a group of people to go around and show people how to turn off the gas to their houses, how to bleed their pipes. I want to go out with them. Because I could talk to a couple of plumbers about it. There are so many things. It's not just about, it's about individual stuff. We'll never, ever, ever, ever be the same. And I've talked to a number of people who say, they've got the house raised, they've got it rebuilt, and there's no way no way. It doesn't matter what happens. They're not leaving their house because they're afraid it's going to happen again. We need some more reassurance. Chief, I know that you would do the best to protect our house, and you would tell your guys and gals to do the best, but there's a lot of people that don't know how to follow rules and take it upon yourselves to do things. And I know maybe you're all getting tired of listening to me, but something's got to change. We should keep on learning. We should keep on doing. You've all, everybody that's been on the council for all these years, thank you, thank you. You've done a wonderful job. I'm proud of our town. I've seen fireworks all over the world, and I'll tell you, Seabright fireworks were some of the best I've ever seen, and I was proud of Seabright. I hope it continues. So I'd like to know if the gas company has done things where they can shut off valves to these various pipes that are. Did they replace the pipes? Is it stronger material? Is it done better? I want to know all of this stuff.
Our engineer could speak to it. I'm sure he could tell you. He was intimately involved with the gas company's project, if you'd like those details now. If not, we can direct the administrator to provide them for you and give you a link to the gas company so that you can hear from them.
I don't want to take up everybody's time here, but those are things that I think that are very, very important to know.
Yes, and you should have
that. It's very important to get people back into their homes, at least so they can assess the damage. We could have saved a lot of the furniture, a lot of the valuables in the house, had we been able to get back into the house sooner. But as it was, things had to be thrown out because they were moldy after almost 3 weeks. So, hurricane. We'll have another one. Maybe I won't be around, maybe you won't be around, but, you know, maybe our kids will be around. Let's do a better job. Getting back to Joanne's house, the previous attorney that was here a couple of months ago when I was here, and we were talking about Joanne's house, he said, be patient. Just be patient. You guys have kind of handled, be patient. We've been patient. They put on a roof. It took them 2 days to put the roof on. I think they did a nice job, and then it stopped. As I told Joanne to her face, Joanne, you're a rotten neighbor. You're a rotten neighbor. Do you need some help financially? Maybe we can all get together. Find some sources for you, but I have lots of money. I don't need any money. Then fix your house. Fix your house. We told the other attorney, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. Would it be a good idea to have a petition where people sign something or have people write letters and these can be turned over to the judge? If this is, this, I know it's different judges, but if this judge doesn't decide something soon, then I think that I have to say, we need to go to the newspapers. We need to do something to change it, because it's not, there's a difference between right and wrong. This is wrong, it's wrong. We're not talking about a person who can't afford to fix a property. We're talking about a person who doesn't care. She doesn't care about the town. She doesn't care about her property. She certainly doesn't care about her neighbors. And I'm tired of it. And I don't mean to be sounding angry with all of you, because, of course, you want the best. A safety thing. We have the bicycle lanes on the avenue, and on the east side, the side where the splash pad is, going north, there's a lot of properties that have road coming out into the road over the curb. brought to my attention because I was driving home one day and there were bicyclists that were trying to stay in that lane, but they couldn't because it was overgrown. And not only are there overgrown spots, not a lot, but enough, that encourage them to go out into traffic. There's gravel, there's stone, there's sand. The other side of the street is swept. I don't know if the street sweeper goes on that side of the street because it's not clean. The people that don't clean up their lots, then perhaps the city could take care of that and rebuild them. I think that's fair. Just my feeling.
Can I just say something? Remarks from the audience are supposed to be limited to 3 minutes. I mean, keep going, but I'm just saying, it's 20 to 8. That's why it's limited to 3 minutes.
Okay.
Go ahead. I mean, the mayor's not going to say anything. She will do it, but I will say something. I mean, we have a long way to go.
Well, okay. My last thing is the splash pad. Being one of the people that swept that from the beach clubs all the way down to Sandy Hook, that swept out underneath people's steps and away from the wall to get rid of all of the sand. Now we have youngsters that are, thank you for employing the young people, appreciate it, but they have the blowers and they're blowing. They walk down the middle of the sidewalk with a splash pad and they blow. So the sand goes up against the wall and the garbage goes into the lots. All of the cigarette butts, the bits of paper, the cans, the bottles, they go into the lots. I'm old enough to remember when blowers were made available to residents. They were used to blow the trash with the leaves into a spot and then picked it up to put in the garbage. That's what needs to be done on this podcast. Thank you. I can't even apologize for taking time. Sorry.
I think my question and answer had to do with notification by the police of what you can do to help them help us. I mean, it's an incredibly daunting task to deal with the situation. We were here post-Sandy as old as you were. And I admire what the police force did in the National Guard. But if there's a way that they can communicate with us, here's what you can do to help us help you and make our job easier so we can get to houses, we can look at things, we can protect you. If that hasn't been put a wrap out there, that would be something that would benefit all of us to make their job easier in a crisis.
One of our biggest challenges during Sandy is once people left, we couldn't find them, we couldn't communicate with them. We lost access to our website, therefore we lost ability to communicate to the outside world. Since we've had that Mixel notification system, we're able to push messages to people's cell phones and emails, and so we've got that redundant. We actually still have the code red system so that we can call. So we try to maintain our redundant systems for notifications. So at least we'll be in a better spot. And as referenced before, we're looking at getting on and following the same protocol as Monmouth County OEM for how we handle the evacuation, post-evacuation procedures. So I will make sure that information is discussed in the meeting and then circulated widely amongst the residents.
I think it would be very valuable if there could be a case where the police department had a plan and it said, in the event that it occurs, here's what we're going to do. And it's clear to all the residents what that's going to be. Mm-hmm. And then as a result of that, here's what we look for you to do to help us in that situation. If that's clear now, great, we're new to this meeting. But if there's a way of making that clearer, I think it benefits everybody. Thank you.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here tonight to ask the 2 handicap spots on Church Street go back to resident parking only. The residents who use those are no longer living on the street, and Church Street can really use those parking spaces. So this is a request to remove those two handicaps.
Okay, we have that actually on our agenda tonight.
I'm sorry?
We have that on our agenda tonight.
Okay.
Chief brought to our attention handicap spots that are no longer, that were assigned to residents who are not here anymore.
Right, they don't, they're no longer on the street. I mean, we could really
care of, it's all women.
Okay, great, thanks.
The boo with the boo.
Okay, I'll do them.
All right, first up, we have our consent agenda.
Mayor, can we, I've been informed that resolution 129-2019 is no longer necessary. So I'll, want to make a motion to pull it, so I can pull it. Okay, can I have a motion to pull resolution number 129-2019? I make that motion.
Councilman Bertal?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes. What about Keeler?
Keeler?
I'm not answering now because I'm...
Sorry.
Yes.
Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Schwartz?
And then I'll make a motion to approve the rest of the second agenda.
Second.
Councilman Bertal?
Yes.
Keeler?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Next we have our ordinances, and first up is a public hearing for ordinance revised title 16-2019, and then it supplements the total of the borough chapter 170 entitled sewers for sewage adjustment.
I'll make a motion to open for the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, Councilman Bertal?
Yes.
Keeler?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Is anybody in the audience who's to be heard on adjustments to the sewer ordinance?
Seeing none, I'm going to make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Bertal?
Yes.
E30.
Keeler?
Okay.
Kelly? Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Schwartz?
And now I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance number 16-2019 and advertise according to law.
Second.
Councilman Bertal?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly? Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Councilman Rooney?
Yes.
Councilman Schwartz? Is that a yes?
Yes.
Thank you.
You gotta put this over there.
I've already been told, I spoke to you beforehand, that we really don't have a choice in this, but can you just explain for everyone why we don't have a choice?
Well, I mean, you can certainly say no. You can vote no. However,
if we did that, what would happen?
Then True Region would not be able to move forward with the acquisition of the school buses that they're purchasing, utilizing this funding, as I understand it. But you are basically bound to that percentage of their debt. So you're really guaranteeing the percentage that you're bound to, which is all based on the whole calculation, the school calculation. So long as you are a member there, you're responsible for that portion of the debt.
Nice, nice bus.
Yeah, we don't have a choice. I just wanted that clear for everyone who came up to the last
time. Why did it include with the other money that we gave to the other 3.5 million?
That's just the tax levy. This is for their improvements.
Okay, so the tax levy always includes debt service. So you do have in the tax levy, you have the amount specific for operations and maintenance, and then you have the debt service, which is also included. It's two separate lines, but when we look at it, it doesn't matter which is which. It all gets passed on to the taxpayers as is. They have a very relatively low debt level. That's probably the only thing that's relatively low when you talk financing at True Regional. But really, so long as you're a member now, the acquisition's occurring now, you're responsible for that portion of their costs.
I'll make a motion to introduce with protest.
With what?
With protest.
I'll second.
With protest?
Yes.
Councilman Bertal?
Yes.
Keeler?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Schwartz?
Yes.
I wonder if that bus will ever make its way into Seabright. One of them buses down Ocean Avenue, probably not.
Finally, to introduce ordinance number 18-2019, and this pertains to our affordable housing resolution and the calculation question of developers' fees.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Councilman Bertal?
Yes.
Keeler?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Schwartz?
And it's also to eliminate the antitrust as for the parking.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
It's for Trayburn's Lane that you were looking for last week, and it's also what the Church Street issues are, the handicap removal is handicap.
Thank you.
So I'll make a motion to introduce that ordinance.
Second.
Councilman Bertal?
Yes.
Keeler?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Schwartz?
I think it's other streets too. Yeah.
And just so everybody knows, I mean, we just have to wait for the next council meeting to actually adopt the ordinance, but
that was at your place.
This is the necessary first step. So don't expect the handicap spaces to disappear overnight. Don't expect the enforcement to start over.
Very good.
August 13th. That's right.
Isn't there other streets on it?
Yeah, there are a few, but they were the only two.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
I just mentioned it because they are here.
Yeah. Second.
8:53. Yes. Councilman Bertal?
Yes.
Keeler?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Supplementary support if there's a problem with each club. Now we're primary, which usually comes with liability.
Our insurance carrier has not increased our premium based on that.
Okay. Can we have confirmation we're not liable? Well, again, as I said, you know, there's always liability for anything we do, and we're going to be sued no matter what we do, because it's in the borough's seat. So we've checked with the carrier.
Yes, we have.
The carrier has not increased the premium in any way. The carrier is okay with it. So it's the same liability that you have in cost money either there or not now.
And in an emergency situation, our staff are responding here.
Yeah, but that's supplementary. That's not fine.
No, it's fine because you need to carry it.
When does movies on the beach start? Do you know?
Edgewater is fine because those are Sudan guards, City of Lake Arts.
Yeah, I got it.
Like Thursday night.
It's certainly not unusual, to be honest. It happens in most municipalities that guard other. Within our Monmouth County Joint Insurance Fund, Seagirt, for example, guards the New Jersey Army base in Seagirt. They are were the model we looked after. They get paid to guard the National Guard base in Seagirt. There's really.
I think in Long Branch.
Long Branch does the hotels too. They do the hotels and the beaches.
Yeah, I get the revenue side. There's no question about it. And I get the fact that we respond if there's something there, if they're a runner. But I'd be concerned about whether or not we have liability.
Yeah, again, as we just said, of course we have liability. We always have liability for anything we do. We've checked with the carrier. The carrier says it's okay, and we're still covered. So there's no increased liability to us. It's being covered.
That was the concern when this idea first bubbled up. So having done the research, I think that felt comfortable authorizing it to go forward based on the assurances you got at that time.
Yeah, on face value, that doesn't sound right. Because whoever the guards were there had their own insurance. And that's no longer around, which means we have to cover it. I'm done with it, but that just does not sound right.
Okay. All I can tell you is what we've been told by our carrier. And we have to take our carrier at face value.
It just doesn't sound logical.
Okay.
I agree, it doesn't sound logical, but at the end of the day, somebody ran out.
That's not the point. I agree. We will respond. I'm just talking liability. Because if we get sued because we're primary and we're not covered for it, and the insurance carrier is not aware of the increased liability and we get hit, shame on us.
But the insurance carrier is available of the increased liability. We checked it and they said there is no.
We have a certificate. We added a certificate of insurance for that. I feel comfortable with that.
Okay.
That's a legend, great
work.
Our next report is insurance and finance and court, Councilman Keeler.
On the insurance, the GIF has researched that, looked into that. I say the GIF is a joint insurance fund that Seabright is part of, and 37 out of the 54 towns in Monmouth County, 53, are part of this one GIF. And they review these matters and signed off on them. So officially, we're covered by them for this particular relationship. On the finance, the state did approve our budget, and we have set the tax rate, which is down somewhat. So we're ready on that, and we have to put in for an extension for sewer, for bills going out, tax bills. On the court, I checked with them today. They are very pleased the way things are going. They are very positive on the new prosecutor, and also on the commander in chief. They're very positive on your actions over there working with them. So, you got a thumbs up from the court.
We're giving them a lot of business, that's why.
That's what she said. She said the tickets coming in and parking and things have been sort of activity that's alive. The next court date is the 25th of July, and that's 8 o'clock. So again, I hope that if anyone wants to go over there, if you have the time, and turn in the morning, just sit in there for a few minutes, you get a sense of how the court works. The judge, very good, and the prosecutor, you can see just it's helpful if people ask you questions about the court if you've been there once, twice, get a sense of how it works. But again, they are very happy with how things are going. Other than that, progress now.
Thank you, Councilor. Mr. Administration, Shared Services, Public Relations, Councilor President.
Yeah, I'll be very brief. I think you already touched upon it. Basically, fireworks. The administration and everything that went together to put that together was absolutely phenomenal. I could not have been more pleased. It's when I first got on council, it's one of the first things that I wanted to do. We had already been discontinued in 2012, and I shot down again to get it going again. Chief, you've been amazing to get it back going, and the mayor and her vision to get it going again. It was a group effort.
It was a group effort. It was good. I couldn't have done it without, like I said, that road department killed it. Everyone in this town, the lifeguards killed it. Everyone
absolutely.
You guys didn't do what I wanted to do, and, you know.
It was amazing, and I think the important thing that the public doesn't realize is when we began the adventure of trying to get it back, we thought this would be 2010. And that it was real easy,
yeah,
you know, exactly. And because that's how it used to be. And we discovered along the way that it's just not so easy anymore.
We learned a lot.
Yes.
We should do it next year. It'll be easier because we know what to expect with the resources that we'll need.
Exactly. We didn't need Homeland Security involved in 2010. Now we did. So it was just phenomenal to see it go on. I heard nothing but good things about it from a public relations perspective. And I just really hope that it just continues from this point forward and forever. Because we need to do this, and I think it's a great gift to the town. Thanks, Chris. And that's all, the rest of us.
Thanks and appreciation to our staff and emergency services, and also to the owners of Chapel Beach Club.
Absolutely.
Who are the ones who provided the fireworks. They've been extraordinarily generous to our community. I saw it mentioned on social media, but they also provided the contents for our planters downtown. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
So they're really just remarkable to us this year. So, things of gratitude to John would be for that as well. Moving on, public safety, education, rec, library.
Yep, I have a couple of things on public safety. There is an awful lot going on in this town, obviously, and I have to say with the chief and the department, one of the things that we've worked on very hard, and I think it just sort of goes unnoticed, is the bridge opening just on the hour from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and we go there on Sundays and Saturdays and stand there and monitor the bridge with the people. We get in touch with the county because it's a matter of giving them the information that they need. So, I mean, chief, I call them on a Saturday and say, I'm going up, you know, to the bridge, you know, can you send somebody up? And somebody comes up, we go over how many boats came through at 9 a.m. and get an idea. So, but I mean, it's the town, for the amount of congestion, I think that we have, we've really worked hard to keep the traffic moving. I will always say our traffic lights are a little dysfunctional, but that's because of the DOT. We cannot control them. So, but other than that, public safety, I would say progress. Education, we continue to move forward in a positive way. There's not much I can say about it, but we do see progress in this area, and we have to keep moving forward. But there's been some major hoops that we've needed to get through that we've gotten through, and we've just, keep moving, and hopefully in a couple of months something will be coming out that'll be positive. Recreation, movies on the beach. I think that starts this Thursday night. Is that right? Yeah. So that's pretty popular, right? Movies on the beach is pretty cool.
The first movie is going to be Little Mermaid. So it begins at dusk on Thursday.
This Thursday. Yeah. So that's a big thing. You got to get that, Neil, please. Movies on the beach. Also, on July 31st, which is a Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8 p.m., we are going to have a beach concert, and we're going to have Tim McClune and the Shirleys right out here. We're picking them up a little bit from some of the shows that got canceled down in Sandy Hook. So we're involved with the Sandy Hook Foundation and Sea Right Rec. And then we had our Andy Rooney swim this weekend, which is something that's dear to my heart. My dad started that swim in the early 80s, and he named it after one of our great mayors, Andy Manning. And then my dad passed in 99, and kind of the swim, I think, fell by the wayside. When I got on the council, I wanted to get the swim going again, and I called one of the guys that's in charge of getting the swims on the schedule. His name is actually Bob Dillon. He knew my dad, not the Bob Dillon, obviously, but... so I said to Bob, I said, I'd like to get the Andy Manning swim back on the map, and he said, you know, Charlie, he said, I knew your dad well, and he said, I think maybe we should include his name in the swim's name. So we called it Andy, after Andy Manning, and Rooney, after my dad, the Andy Rooney swim. So we had 160 swimmers, and we had more than one school bus go with, which is over 50 swimmers that did the 2 mile swim, including myself, and I have to say, it kicked my butt. I was definitely feeling it. But it was a great event, and I just can't thank the chief, and everybody came out to help, and I have to say, Joe Veruni switched his schedule. He went to church on Saturday so that he could be here Sunday morning, and I really appreciate that, Joe. I know you care about this town a lot, and it shows. Other than that, the library's moving along. We're gonna hire a new employee. Actually, we did tonight, right? So that's good. That's good news. And other than that, progress.
Thank you. Congratulations on a successful
Thank you.
Event.
Thank you. It was great weather. That helps.
Public Works and the Building Department. So, I'll start with Building Department. So that's quick. Building Department, things have been slowing down a little bit after Sandy. Now that everybody started, their houses are getting out and finishing their houses. So in the Building Department area, we have less and less permits being issued and less work being done in town because everybody's finishing up. So that's good. The town's coming back to where it's supposed to be, hopefully. Public Works, big addition to the town. We've had the wrought iron fence, or aluminum fence that we put up along the parking lots out here to help kind of concentrate the folks crossing the street and push them towards the crosswalks. There's still a little bit of work that needs to be done, but we're gonna get there with those. I want to give a big shout out to DPW, because there was the unsung heroes of big events like fireworks. So they did a great job. I know a couple of guys were here overnight because they had to be back in the morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. They were the beach and everything. So they really busted their butts for that. And just in general for the town, they did a really great job for that. We are on schedule for sometime. Second week in August to actually reface the DPW building that's currently on between Surf Street and New Street. We can reface both sides of it, just kind of clean it up and make it a little bit more presentable. We were supposed to get stucco samples for tonight, I'll make sure it gets big enough that the samples get put into the town, into the old borough wall to go check and see what you want to pick the color. DPW is in the process of putting basically seals on manholes. They're going to seal all our manholes to kind of help squash some of the floodwaters that we're going to get into our sewer system and get the floodwaters getting processed through two rivers processing centers. We're going to try and stop some of that. That's our first step. And so we're going to put in these inserts in the manholes to keep the water from getting into the manholes. We're going through the manholes into the sewer system. So that's step one. Step two, we're sometime in towards the end of September, everyone will be getting notifications of this in the downtown area and on Embry. We should get notifications in your mail on smoke testing being performed, and that's going to basically test for our sewer systems for any leaks between the sewer system and the houses to see where we have maybe some infiltration and flux from floodwaters there. And then we'll work with you, those owners, to let them know where these problems lie if there are any. It won't always be home because there's a lot of problems, but some of that issue will be on us and throw over.
beautification, Council Harris?
Council Harris.
We have the mayor's report of communications, I'm going to also say progress, and so that we can move into the final piece, which is a closed session to discuss litigation and personnel. Come out of closed session, we're going to adjourn the meeting, taking no further formal actions.
I'll make a motion to approve that closed session.
Councilman Bertel?
Yes.
Keeler?
Yes.
Kelly? Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Schwartz?
She can't hear him.